Last Sunday, I started with a Christmas message series looking at the three gifts, and I'd like to go ahead and just start with our scripture for today. I'll be reading Matthew chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Matthew 2, 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And I'll jump ahead to verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. The video you just saw, right at, towards the end, the kids struggled to remember what the three gifts were, it seemed anyways. They kind of started talking about gifts that they would like or they thought a baby should get. And then they finally got to what they could remember, and they said gold, Frankenstein, and myrrh. So today we'll be learning about Frankenstein. Well, maybe that's not quite right. We'll be looking at the gift of frankincense. Last week we looked at the gift of gold and saw that it was a gift fit for a king. And the challenge from last week was for us to make Jesus Lord of our lives and be devoted to Him alone as our Lord and King and nothing else. I should say, be not devoted to something else, but Jesus alone as our Lord and King. And today we'll be looking at the gift of incense, or more specifically, frankincense. And we're looking at these three gifts given to Jesus, which may or may not have been given with intentional symbolic meaning. But yet at the same time, we can look back and see that they could represent some symbolism. Not to elevate the gifts, but to see what, or more appropriately, who they point us toward, and that is Jesus. Gold is an easy gift to understand, but the other two, of frankincense and myrrh, they might not be so easy to understand. Although I suppose that we do have a number of you here that have enjoyed essential oils, and you're probably versed in those two items, frankincense and myrrh. But as we look at the gift of incense or frankincense, we must first know what it is. Now, this morning, I did try to bring a little aroma in the sanctuary with frankincense, and unfortunately, my little diffuser over there wasn't really making it pronounced in the sanctuary. Unless you're sitting right there, you'll be able to smell it. So after the service, if you want to smell, what does frankincense smell like? Go over there and take a sniff. And if it's too strong, you can unplug it too, if you're right there. But anyways, my hope was you get a little smell of what frankincense smells like. Honestly, it was just last Sunday, it was the first time I actually smelled what it smelled like. Thank you, Truette, and thank you, Lynette, for you both had some on hand. Anyways, frankincense is a gummy resin from the Boswellia tree, and it produces a sweet odor when burned. Yeah, I probably pronounced the tree wrong. It's okay. But frankincense could be used as a perfume and was even used to put on the skin for its healing qualities. But it was used mostly as an incense, at least that's what we see in Scripture. Now, it was used for those other things, but we see in Scripture a good portion of those instances that frankincense comes up. It was It was used in the Old Testament during a time of worship. So I'll turn with me to Exodus chapter 30, and we'll look at a couple of instances where frankincense is used. Exodus chapter 30, starting with verse 34. I'll be reading this out of the New Living Translation. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather fragrant spices, resin droplets, mollusk shell, and galbanum, and mix these fragrant spices with pure frankincense, weighed out in equal amounts. Using the usual techniques of the incense maker, blend the spices together and sprinkle them with salt to produce a pure and holy incense. Grind some of the mixture into a very fine powder and put it in front of the Ark of the Covenant, where I will meet with you in the tabernacle. You must treat this incense as most holy. Never use this formula to make this incense for yourselves. It is reserved for the Lord, and you must treat it as holy. Anyone who makes incense like this for personal use will be cut off from the community." Now, frankincense was used in the tent of meeting or in the tabernacle when Moses met with God. And the recipe listed in that scripture there was only to be used in that tabernacle. And frankincense was also used in many other burnt offerings. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Leviticus 2:1. "When you present grain as an offering to the Lord, the offering must consist of choice flour. You are to pour olive oil on it, sprinkle it with frankincense, and bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests. The priest will scoop out a handful of the flour moistened with oil, together with all the frankincense, and burn this representative portion on the altar. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord." The grain offering, along with the olive oil and frankincense, was a form of worship to God. That is what they were doing. They were going there with this to worship God. And when done with the right heart, meaning their desire was to worship God, they weren't doing this, bringing these items out of compulsion, but they were coming to worship God. When done with the right heart, it was pleasing to the Lord. In fact, the way it's described here, that sacrifice or that offering was a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And I literally could go on with many other scriptures to point out that frankincense had a significant role as it was used with the Israelites in the worship of the one true God, Yahweh. Looking back to the Magi, looking back to the scripture we started out with, do you think the Magi knew who Jesus really was? Did they know that he was the Son of God? Did they come bearing frankincense as a form of worship? We don't know for sure what they knew or didn't know. But what we do know is that they traveled a long distance to see a king. We talked about that last week. But they also came to worship him. Something the gift of frankincense was most used for was worship. Therefore, this was a perfect gift for the Lord as it came along with their worship. Going back to Matthew 2:11, "They bowed down and worshiped him." They bowed down. In other words, they prostrated themselves on the ground. They went low to the ground and they worshiped Jesus. Was he an infant? Was he 2 years old? Not really sure, but he was in that age range. But they bowed to this young child and they worshiped him. This is a group of Gentiles, a group that really is not a part of the Jewish community. They traveled a long distance to come and worship this child. Jesus was worthy of worship because he is the Son of God. John 3:16, one that many of us know very well and have memorized, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Jesus, God's Son, came to bring salvation. Not just salvation to the Jewish community, but salvation to the world. So a group of Gentiles coming to worship Jesus is good. Because Jesus came for the world. Though God is often referred to as the Father and Jesus the Son, the relationship is hard for us sometimes to really comprehend, because they're both separate, but yet at the same time, they're one. Actually, you have the Father, you have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit, and all three are separate, but at the same time, all three are one. And let's read out of John chapter 1, verse 1, to see how that Father-Son relationship can be difficult to comprehend. John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." Interesting use of words. In the beginning. So before time began, the Word was there. In the beginning, the Word was with God. So we think in proximity. He was with God. And then the next portion of the verse, the Word was God. How we sometimes try to wrap our minds around that can be difficult. And then, through Him all things were made. Well, many of us know Genesis, where God created the everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested. Well, guess what? Jesus was a part of that. Because we come to know what the Word is, and the Word is Jesus. And in verse 14 of John chapter 1, we see what the Word, that is Jesus, we see what He did. In verse 14 of chapter 1, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one, the only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." See, Jesus has existed for an eternity with God the Father, and Jesus took on flesh and became a man and dwelt with us here on earth. See, that's the part that we celebrate at Christmas time. That John 1:14 is what we celebrate. Is that God in Jesus, the second of the Trinity, He came and took human form. He became a part of those He created because He was there when we were created. Well, this gets interesting, doesn't it? When we really talk about all the complexities of Jesus. But Jesus came to be our Savior. Jesus came with a purpose to save us. Yet though He appears as fully man, He also is fully God. The Word became flesh. Another point that, I mean, that's can be difficult to fully grasp, but yet it's one of the things that we need to understand is, yes, He is man, but He is also God. I'd like to read from Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 28, part of the Christmas story, Luke 1:28, when Mary is told that she's going to have a baby. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked. Asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." We see more miracles of Christmas as Christ being born of a virgin. And this can only happen through the power of the Almighty God. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, Jesus took on flesh, and Jesus will be called the Son of God. Did the Magi really understand who Jesus was? Did they really know the significance of his coming? They came to worship, they came to give gifts, they traveled a long distance. I don't really know what they knew. But we know because it's written in the Bible. It's written in God's Word. Not everyone at that time understood who Jesus was. Even some of Jesus' followers struggled when Jesus got older. They struggled to fully understand who Christ was, although a few did. Jesus even asked some of his disciples that question if they really knew who he was. In Matthew 16, verse 15, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." See, Peter knew Jesus was the Son of God. He knew Jesus was the Christ. The Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. The one whom they'd been waiting for a long time. The one who would reign forever. The one who would fulfill the promise that God had made. And we talked some about that last week. Yet for Peter, even knowing this, even knowing that he's the Son of God, he still struggled, even after walking on water for a moment with Jesus. He still struggled with this. You see, Peter denied knowing Jesus after Jesus was arrested. That simply shows that even the best of us struggle at times, but who Jesus is, never changes. You see, Peter said he would never deny Jesus, but that changed. He did. But it didn't change who Jesus was. He is the Son of God, and he is worthy of all worship and praise. Trouble hit when Jesus was arrested, tortured, and then crucified. Jesus' disciples were in disbelief. How could the forever reigning king be killed? How could the Son of God die on a cross? How could that be? They struggled with that. But again, we know that Jesus was fully man and fully God. So being fully man, he could die. And we'll talk a little bit more on that topic next week. But Jesus was resurrected from the dead. He rose from the dead. That's what we celebrate at Easter time. And after he rose from the dead, he revealed himself to the people. And I'd like to look at another scripture here in John chapter 20. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." See, Thomas struggled to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but even he came to believe and worship Jesus. "My Lord and my God." See, Jesus is worthy of worship. The Magi gave Jesus the gift of frankincense, and they worshiped him. Frankincense is a gift for the Lord, whom was worthy of their worship. Jesus has always been worthy of worship because of who he is. The Magi may have given the gift of frankincense, but what can we give Jesus? Now, I said what I'm about to say, I said last week, and it's important. I'm going to get back to that question on what we can give Jesus. I want to remind you that the greatest gift in history is Jesus. The thing is, we didn't deserve him, and we couldn't do enough to earn him. God gave his son Jesus out of love because we needed him. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah, we're probably going to hear that again next week too, because it's important. What we find valuable, things like gold, and even at the time that the Magi came, frankincense and myrrh, they were very expensive spices. Even at that time, those are things that are seen valuable. So the things that we find valuable, like those, is nothing compared to the gift of Jesus to us. Yet, like any gift, it can be rejected or disowned. It can be turned down. And Jesus, being the perfect gift, was rejected by many. Though he came to die for us, he will either be received or rejected. But I want to get back to my question. If Jesus was the greatest gift for us, what can we give Jesus? We can give him our worship and our devotion. What is it that we have that's even worthy of a gift for the Son of God? All we can give is ourselves and our worship, because gold, frankincense, and myrrh really have little value in light of the Son of God. We can give him our worship. Let us not be distracted by the things of this world and worship things that are created. It's easy to get distracted by money. It's easy to get distracted by jobs. It's easy to get distracted by other stressful things. Or it's easy to get distracted. Satan's out there to distract you. So it's even easier if you're not paying attention. Let us not be distracted, and let us worship the Creator who loved us so much that he came. To bring us salvation. Let us praise and worship him not only one day, not just one day a week, but let our worship be daily. And I wish I would have put a few of these verses up on the screen, but they're not here, so take notes fast if you want to take them. I've got a few scriptures about worship. Psalm 71:8, "My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long." Psalm 103:1, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name." Hebrews 13:15, Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And the final one I have for you is Romans 11:36. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. We can give the Lord our worship. And if anything that frankincense we can take away from that gift, is Jesus is worthy of our worship. And that's our challenge, to give it to Him only, daily.